Brothers Geek, and this is our podcast. It's episode 85. It's January 8th.
January 8th. It is a whole new year.
2018.
Do you guys have any resolutions for the year that you're going to do for a couple months and then give up
on? Yes, as one of the you guys. That's Andrew. I'm Chris.
Oh, yeah.
I'm Andrew.
Yeah.
Episode 85. They should know this by now. What?
Don't, we've been doing this
don't call me out.
Well done, six well done, episodes.
Don't call me out like that.
This might be the first time somebody is listening to this podcast. And
all right.
And they introduce don't know everyone. Who we are.
I'm Patrick.
You're a pro. You're a pro.
I'm Patrick. That's Christopher. He's the most snarky brother. And then there's Andrew. He's the sweet one who doesn't say mean things to me. So.
I mean, I let you sleep on my couch for the week of Christmas.
Yeah.
If I wanted to say mean things to you, you would have to sit there and take it.
Pretty much.
Yeah, there's no getting away from that.
Mm-hmm. Welcome to our podcast.
Welcome.
This
is a window into the brothers geek.
So
yes, it is.
So resolutions. What do you got,
Christopher? Go for it.
I don't do resolutions.
None.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I crushed my lifestyle change. So that's just
yes,
I'm just
you
maintaining
did.
That.
Yeah, you've been you're just maintaining. Good
How
for
many,
you.
This your third half marathon's coming up this weekend.
Second half marathon. Multiple 5Ks.
Yeah,
10K, a 6-miler, a trail run. Yep.
It's amazing that you can do this being so old, you know.
Being old and crusty.
Yes.
Being dilapidated.
So true.
It's just yes. So. Every time I see you,
so
I'm just like, ah, oh, so
he's
old.
He's very old.
So
gray. I will not dispute that I am getting old.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Shit, man. You're in your prime.
You're crushing it. It's pretty awesome. Good for you.
Yeah, 2017 was a good year. I want to continue it in 2018 and beyond.
Do you experience nipple chafing with all of your runs?
Good question.
No, I practice very effective nipple management.
Do you? What is your nipple management routine? Do you have a routine?
For my long training run and
that
for
needs
my
to
long...
be the title of this podcast.
Nipple management routine.
100%. Nipple management
that
routine. Sorry, continue.
No, that's it. Nipple management.
Yep.
That's
oh my god.
That's
okay.
Perfect. Yeah. Yes, I practice very careful nipple management. And so during my long training runs and my half marathon races, I use a Body Glide product that you essentially it's like a bar like your antiperspirant or deodorant, except you spread it on all those places where chafing may happen, and chafing definitely has a possibility to happen on my nipples, and so
sure.
I use that product and have had good success so far.
Do you want to do a product drop? What's it called?
No.
Nope. Okay. Not a sponsored.
Not a sponsored spot. Nope.
If they want to sponsor us, I am happy to drop their product.
Absolutely.
It is a thing, man. You run over like 5 miles.
Some major thing.
And it
yes.
That's
did you encounter this issue early on? Like you were having chafing issues on your nipples when you first started running regularly?
I remembered my first experience, which was 20 years ago.
Oh, yeah, when you were in your full marathon.
Yes, training for the Marine Corps Marathon in D.C. I had – the shirt technology was a lot worse back then.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I had a lot more problems with that, and I ended up with bloody nipples on more
ooh,
than one occasion.
Ouch. Wow.
Oh, yes. It sucked. So I remember that whole experience, and so this time around, and the shirt technology has dramatically improved.
Exercise gear is definitely the way to go. You get much less than just a cotton shirt.
Far less abrasive,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Much lighter, and so that helps a lot. But
cool.
I also coat myself from almost head to toe in that shit.
So, yeah. That's awesome.
Like
cool. Andrew, you got some resolutions?
I mean, I kind of make the same resolutions that I always make, and they fall off and come and go. And
sure.
I have a gaming resolution. Go ahead, Andrew.
Hold on to that.
I was just going to say, I always make the resolution every year that I want to write more. I want to, because writing fiction brings me a particular level of joy. Helps me actually to focus. So damn scattered all the time. I'm actually going to try to journal more to keep more of a record of my... week to week or, you know, things like that. I haven't started... It's the 8th and I haven't written in my journal, but I have multiple journals sitting that I could use.
You want to do like a daily journal? Okay. That's cool.
I've never done that before.
Dear Diary or just like random thoughts?
Whatever the form takes, it won't be
Andrew,
fiction.
I did a form of that in 2017 where I on my iPad, I kept track of every movie, book, and game and media that I watched and played.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that was a way to frame it, and then things that I was you guys heard about it, and some of it went up on the website.
Yeah.
Is if something particularly impacts me, I write a longer form thing or oriented around the themes of that thing. And that helps me to frame sort of ideas and that kind of thing. So it's hard to really commit to the daily and the weekly thing unless you have a framing device. So that may be an approach that you take this year.
That's a great approach. The genesis or the very kind of large idea would be is that I would try to write more fiction, and then I would also have something that I would write that would be not fiction, which would be more about what I'm doing on the daily, what I'm watching on the daily, what I'm experiencing on the daily. That's more my life rather than me creating character. I want to try both those forms.
Oh, sure.
Both have their values in terms of my expression, so I want to try to do both.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so that's kind of a goal/resolution I have for this year.
Goals for the year, I like it.
You'll just blow it off if you don't commit and do it
regularly.
You're
absolutely right.
What's your gaming resolution, Christopher?
Yeah.
My gaming resolution really is only focused on a single game. I am going to play all the way through Divinity Original Sin.
Oh, number one. They've come out with the second one,
yes,
but
I was strongly tempted to buy that because I really love what I've played of Divinity Original Sin, but I've fallen off of it a couple times. I've started it and fallen off of it. But this year, 2018, I will play all the way through that game.
Dope.
And that's going to keep me the idea is I am not going to purchase the second one until I have played all the way through the first
one.
Nice.
That's a good goal for you to have.
Yep.
My gaming resolution is kind of just like to stream more. I feel like I want to be streaming games I'm playing more, so whenever I'm playing, I'm trying to stream.
I caught a little bit of your stream the other day.
Oh, did you?
We need to do that more.
Yeah, I feel like when I play, I just need to.
We should do that tonight with some Destiny.
Maybe that sounds good. Mm-hmm. But 2018. I would like to talk about a few things from. Like the Golden Globes were last night, and there's a few.
Yes.
Award
season has started.
There's some genre television that I'd like to comment on that won some awards. Like Handmaid's Tale won Best Drama TV Series, beating out Game of Thrones. Which, see, I only watched the first like 8 episodes of Handmaid's Tale. I need to finish it. But it was pretty good. It was just kind
Aren't
of like
close to the end with 8. It doesn't have a very long season.
I don't
does it?
Think it's that long.
No, I don't
maybe
think
I'm
so
less
either.
Than 8. Maybe I'm like more 6.
I'm only 4 episodes in. I really enjoyed. I don't know why I fell off. I guess it's not sort of maybe I wasn't that compelled by it, but I really liked the first episodes that I watched. Mm-hmm. So I definitely need to finish that. season off because I thought it was quality TV. I don't know if it should have beaten out Game of Thrones, however. But
it's only 10 episodes, by the way.
There you go.
Okay. Hulu series.
You should finish that.
Yeah, I should finish it.
I think
Handmaid's Tale beat the last season of Game of Thrones because I was not happy with the last season of Game of Thrones. But
I don't
anyways.
Know, man. I did a rewatch of, and this will segue a little bit because we'll continue to talk about the Golden Globes. But I mean, they did a marathon. They showed entire seasons back to back on HBO over the Christmas break. And yeah, you and I sat and watched multiple episodes of the early season. I mean, how good season 2 and season 3 were just
season
incredible.
1 through 4 are like just amazing.
Incredible television.
Incredible.
Peak TV. Yeah, peak TV.
As good as TV gets. Yeah. I did a rewatch of season 6 and season 7 were able to be shoehorned into one day. It was like 15 or 16 hours because season 7 is what, only 7 episodes or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I caught, and I was in and out. I didn't sit there for 15 straight hours. I've done that before, but I was in and out that day or whatever. But there are still lots of kind of fun, interesting television. All the gripes you can make about timeline changes and all of that crap and how that, you know, there's issues with, you know, everything seems to be centered around set pieces and things like that. That kind of falling off of the drama in season 7, I think that's all legitimate, but it's still such fun TV to watch. I watched the Loot Train episode where Daenerys and her Dothraki just smoke the Lannister army. And,
great. The season 7, there are scenes that are really awesome. Don't get me wrong.
As good as TV gets.
But I feel like the framework, the timing, and the overall, like, writing just has dropped significantly.
You're not wrong.
And rewatching, like, I did the same thing. Like, they were doing that marathon on HBO when I was staying at your house for Christmas.
Yeah.
I rewatched the first 2 seasons, and the writing is just next level, dude. Some of those scenes where they're talking about stuff is just incredible stuff. Incredible. And the path, I don't know. Six and seven just felt very weak to me, and I feel like they're going too mainstream, way too mainstream. And I remember watching those
TV show in the world,
right? Totally. No, I understand, but I don't know. I might be just griping, but I'm not.
Let's get back to the Golden Globes.
Okay.
Yeah, we can do an entire episode on our kind of issues with Game of Thrones.
Let me go back to that. I apologize. I had the list up. Oh, crap. I lost it.
Chris, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
You've got quiet.
I would like to talk.
That's the thing with Bumble, dude. It's so good that when you go quiet, yeah. you go very quiet.
Can trust it. Exactly. Just trust it, Andrew. Yeah,
it's good.
Exactly. I'm always afraid.
Elizabeth Moss won for Handmaid's Tale also. Shape of Water, Guillermo del Toro.
She's awesome in that show. That was well done.
She's awesome in everything.
Guillermo del Toro won for best director for Shape of Water.
Yeah, I really want. That's on my list. I absolutely want to see that.
I went and saw. Yeah, I thought it was really good, very beautiful. You know, it's not perfect, but it's very enjoyable, and it's a good love story. It's really weird. I mean, once you got to look past the whole, they're basically convincing you that this like sea monster and this woman are falling in love, and it's so odd, but I don't know, man, it works. The practical effects are amazing, and you feel for all the characters, and there's all this discussion about, you know, racism and prejudice and you know, religious ideologies getting in the way, and you know, set during the 50s, so there's a homosexual character that's struggling with being lonely, and so it's layered. It's really, really good, and I couldn't recommend it enough. It's pretty awesome. The rest of these things are kind of, I wouldn't call our wheelhouse genre television. You know, let me see if there's anything that fits that. I mean, Shape of Water won for best original score, which I thought the music was really good. I don't know if it was better than Dunkirk, though. Dunkirk's original score was really
good. That's another movie that you got that for. You got it on Blu-ray for Christmas, and we watched you and I. Crazy, that movie is so unbelievable.
That movie is so good.
It is just like, in terms of spectacle, epic filmmaking, it doesn't get much better than that. Even on my, you know, my 45-inch flat panel TV, the surround sound though was still awesome. Yeah, no, it was great to watch that again on Blu-ray in my house, even though I wish every time I could watch it on a huge IMAX screen.
Yeah.
Just, it's that kind of movie that's worthy of always watching it in the movie theater.
I've been re-watching Indiana Jones tweeted about this on, and I rewatched the original trilogy. And then I was like, should I watch Crystal Skull? Because I've only seen it once.
I only think I've only seen it once also.
They're all on Amazon, by the way. So that's why I was watching them. And I rewatched it. Dude, it's not a terrible movie, but there are terrible parts to that movie.
That's exactly my memory of that. It's been a while since I've seen it, but
yeah,
I don't think it's as bad as people make it out to be.
Right.
But there are parts of that movie that are painfully awful.
I hate Shia LaBeouf in it. I just don't want him any. And he's so pointless. Oh, he's just like an idiot. Everything out of his mouth is so bad. Yeah. And just him swinging through the trees and the freaking refrigerator.
Oh my god.
And the
refrigerator bomb shelter.
And what else?
Nuclear,
like
the nuclear
test. The giant ants that like are just consume a body in 30 seconds. Like what the hell's that? Yeah. And
couple of set pieces.
So, but
awful.
Like honestly, like the whole aliens, ancient aliens kind of a thing. I was okay with it. You know, it's not terrible because I kind of want that to be true, that aliens came here and like influenced humanity at one point. And I think that's interesting. I'm not one of those like ancient aliens guys. Like
it's an interesting idea to kind of base the movie around.
Right. That idea, I guess, but how they portrayed it, and when you think about Steven Spielberg doing The Post and Bridge of Spies, and then he's doing that
Lincoln and doing freaking
where's the disconnect? What happened, dude?
Well, like, he can do both, and sometimes he doesn't. And not every movie he makes is his best movie ever. I mean,
there's a minimum level of quality that he really should.
Right,
you're right.
There's a minimal level of quality in it.
And you think that what were you thinking as you're looking at the? Is constructing that scene, and you really thought that this was good? Thought that made sense? I mean,
the difference between the first three and the fourth one is just ridiculous. The amount of CGI, and there's like no CGI or computer effects in the first three. It's all like practical stuff. It's all, and it still looks good. You know the guy going off the cliff in the tank looks a little goofy.
Yeah.
But it like they're in a plane. There's like plane battles. There's like you know, bombs getting dropped in front of cars, and there's no CGI. It's just them doing it. And it looks so much better when you actually do it.
Yeah.
It holds up a lot better than all, you know, Shia LaBeouf swinging through the trees completely computer generated. And that whole scene in the jungle is a studio. It's not a jungle. Like, you're not in a...
Yeah.
It looks awful. It looks really bad. So, I was surprised by some parts. I let go of the snark a little bit, but I remembered how bad it was.
You know what I'm always surprised by, though, when I rewatch Indiana Jones, is how much I actually kind of think Temple of Doom is fun.
Temple of Doom is good.
That movie is not fun.
It's pretty good. No, I liked it too.
Temple of Doom.
I like it too.
There's a difference between enjoying it.
Yeah.
and it being fun. It's not fun.
Yeah.
It's
okay.
Dark. It's
It's pretty dark.
The slave children.
The slave children.
Human sacrifice stuff.
Well, chilled monkey brains.
Chilled monkey brains.
That is Steven Spielberg just swinging for the fences, dude.
Seriously.
But it's honestly, rewatching that, the worst part of that movie is the character of what's her name? The main woman. Willie is just so annoying.
She's grating.
She grades on you.
Yeah, but I think she's written that way and intentional. Mm-hmm. I think that's intentional. She's not that compelling.
Right.
She's not.
No, compared to Marion in the first one, and then
Marion in the first one's great.
And then
the hard drinking, you know, right, kick your ass.
She's tough as nails.
That's a top 25 movie of all time.
That's what I'm saying. Oh, yeah. Right.
Raiders,
that's what I'm saying.
It's hard to compare.
So good.
But like the German woman in
Elsa.
Right. Yeah. I just watched these.
German
can't
or Russian?
What?
She's German.
She's German.
Is it German?
In The Last Crusade.
She's like the best villain, and she's so complicated. And rewatching that, you're like, she loves Indiana, but she just is working with the Germans as like a means to an end because she doesn't care. And it's like
she's a bit of a nihilist.
But
I mean, she definitely has.
I like
the ability to connect.
She's
with
also humans. There's fanaticism in her. She nails the look of fanaticism that drives many of the villains in this in the series, right?
Yep.
And so she nails that at the end when she's trying to get the cup.
Rewatching that, I was thinking on like what are the greatest trilogies because Indiana Jones is not a trilogy anymore. So I feel like you can't ignore it. It has a fourth movie, so it's out of the running. I don't think Matrix trilogy should be in the running because the first one's amazing and the next two are pretty.
That's a trilogy.
I know.
So
okay.
That's part of the discussion.
Okay. True. I mean, Lord of the Rings. The Hobbit.
The Hobbit is.
I think Lord of the Rings might be the best. Or Back to the Future.
Back to the Future trilogy. They've been replaying those on cable, despite kind of the.
Yeah, movies are fucking incredible.
Yeah.
They're so much fun.
Oh,
they're all on HBO Go.
Topic. Let's see here.
Well, and we're forgetting.
Best
I mean, the
movie trilogies.
The Dark Knight trilogy.
Oh yeah, that's a really good.
Hello.
Well,
can we? Yeah.
The Dark Knight is amazing. Probably the best superhero movie. But like I was kind of underwhelmed by Rises.
Rises is not as good as
It's
the
okay.
Dark Knight.
It's okay.
I agree.
Yeah.
The Dark Knight holds a singular place in terms of
It's so good,
movies.
Dude.
It's so good. And we could even it's three movies in the series. Can we consider the Captain America trilogy?
Ooh.
As a solid trilogy, even though it's spaced out between multiple Marvel films.
I don't think you can treat that as a trilogy. I think you have to examine the three for this test. It has to be three movies that are intended to be treated as a trilogy.
Okay. But there's so much overlap in Winter Soldier and in Civil War that you can't really. I agree with Christopher that those are not. That's not a trilogy. You could say the same thing about the Iron Man trilogy. I don't think that really counts.
The Iron Man 3 movies. They don't fit into a series.
We haven't named the original trilogy, boys.
Well, this original Star Wars. Yeah.
I don't think that counts anymore, though, Christopher. I mean, it's there's eight freaking Star Wars, nine Star Wars movies now. So you can't really call that. Yeah. I don't know. If Star Wars is off the table, what's your next choice?
Yeah, by my rule, I think only discrete trilogies qualify.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so number one.
Might be Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Number
two, Batman.
The Dark Knight, honestly, might be...
I think the Dark Knight trilogy beats Lord of the Rings.
Ooh.
By a hair.
By how good The Dark Knight is.
If we're talking rewatchability...
Can a singular movie that is so good in a trilogy elevate it above... Because Batman Begins started, and whether or not, you know, Nolan had the idea for 2 and 3... when he was making Batman Begins, because we know that Jackson, just because of the source material, we know Jackson made all three. He knew what he was doing with all three. He shot them at the same time or consecutively. That was completely planned out. I mean, the Dark Knight trilogy came out over 8 years. He made two or three films in between each Dark Knight movie. So did he have a plan for the trilogy, or is it just such good three movies with one character that ends up telling a complete story?
I do feel like maybe he had a plan for Dark Knight and Dark Knight Rises. I feel like those two kind of go hand in hand, and there's a lot of overlap. Less so with Batman Begins. I feel like that one feels much different than those two.
It does.
I feel like there was a lot more studio influence, and then they liked it so much that they kind of let him do his...
Which one?
The Batman Begins.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It feels a little more superhero-y.
A little bit.
You know, and then the next two he made Christopher Nolan, you know, mafia movies with Batman in them.
Yeah.
That's
basically, yeah.
Yeah, so...
I think my list is Dark Knight, Lord of the Rings. I'm going to go... This is a surprise trilogy, but I'm going to go Cornetto trilogy.
Oh.
Number three.
Can that be considered a trilogy,
though? Absolutely.
It doesn't tell 100% a successive story with three... with doesn't it?
All of them have Cornetto ice cream in it.
No, they're not.
Come on. There has to be storytelling elements.
Yeah. All right, fine. Then if you're going to reject that, then my number three is that my number three, purely on the genius of the first two, is Godfather.
Yeah,
yeah.
I was just gonna say Godfather.
Well, that's another movie where one element. I mean, Godfather parts one and two are two of the best movies ever made.
Ever.
But how singularly good part two is can elevate kind of the mediocrity of part three.
Yeah, part three is absolutely mediocre. If it was even a good movie, it would be an easy runaway with it number one of all time.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right.
I want to bring up a couple here that I wasn't thinking of. The Bourne trilogy doesn't count anymore because they made a fourth one.
Nope.
You're right.
Doesn't count.
The Fistful of Dollars trilogy, the Dollars trilogy from Good, Bad, and the Ugly is the third one.
All those movies.
Those are really good. Let me see what else are under this list here. Yeah, there's a... Godfather's pretty good. I still haven't seen the third one.
Back to the Future has to be up there.
It's really good.
Back to the Future has to
for,
be there.
For fun and rewatchability, Back to the Future is amazing.
Amazing.
Can we include... Because, I mean, if we're talking stellar first and second installments and then mediocre third installments, well, I guess you can't even consider the Terminator trilogy a trilogy anymore because there's five movies.
Five of them. Nope. Yeah. They've tried. Okay. And Arnie's in, like, all of them.
As an art form, that's why I think the rule should be you limit it to absolutely discrete.
Correct.
Movies four and on are cash grabs where a discrete trilogy, there is a beginning, middle, and end.
Totally. Right. Totally.
Yeah. And that's exactly how it should be set up and treated. That is the artistic form.
And
if you go beyond that, you fuck it up.
Here's one that I'm interested to hear what you think of it. Toy Story trilogy.
Oh,
they're making a fourth one, but those are pretty good. Those are pretty good movies.
That actually, you're right about that.
That's right behind Godfather.
Absolutely right.
Yep.
It's right behind Godfather. Those movies are incredible.
We can't count. Well, I don't know. Mad Max trilogy, we can't count it anymore because of Fury Road. Four of them. Have you guys ever seen the Before trilogy? Before Sunset, Before Sunrise, Before Midnight? Have you guys seen those?
I've actually seen the third one.
I've seen the first two. I haven't seen the third
Ethan
one.
Ethan Hawke and Julie Delpy. Is that her name?
Yeah, I think so.
It's Richard Linklater, right?
Yeah, I love Linklater, dude. He's one of my favorite, like script writing, just movie makers. Like, the scripts are so good in his movies. And, yeah, I like that series a lot, even though I haven't seen the third one.
I've seen the third one, and it's about, I mean, they've been married for like 10 or 15 years.
Right.
And I don't know anything about marriage, clearly, but from what I've seen of marriage, it seems like one of the most accurate representations of a marriage that's been on screen. Wow. It's really just these two characters having a long fight over a day or two while they're on vacation without their kids.
Here's a question. Yeah. Toby Maguire, Spider-Man.
Oof.
Oh, God.
I think the third one drags it down so much.
I don't think those hold up based on the kind of the
But that's
the
a trilogy. New,
we it would is treat that as a trilogy.
That's
right?
A trilogy.
Completely a trilogy, yes.
I feel like it counts when, like, you end the story. His characters, with the Amazing Spider-Man, they started over. You know, they had a new actor. Yep. They told the origin story again. It's basically a remake, you know?
Totally. No, it's a reboot. Completely. It's a
complete reboot.
I need to watch The Lord of the Rings from beginning to end.
Right?
Hell yeah.
Extended
Dude,
cut?
I did it a couple months. Extended I did it a few months edition. Ago. It's so good.
Those are good.
It's
extended
so good.
Extended edition. That's a 13-hour commitment.
easily. It is easily 13
Well, I mean,
hours.
like lately, I've just been rewatching all these movies that I haven't seen in a really long time, and you know, seeing if they hold up. Like,
marveling at the art.
Right, right. So, you know, I think I'm going to rewatch Back to the Future. I think that's next on the list.
You should.
I think that's a good one. What else did I have for you? Oh, have you guys seen the trailer for this movie Red Sparrow? With Jennifer Lawrence? Is that just Black Widow? Are they just...
Yeah,
is it Black Widow with
Russian female assassin?
It's even like a color and an animal. What the hell? Like, Marvel should sue the crap out of them for that movie.
Well, I'm excited. Jennifer Lawrence is good in anything.
Right.
I'm really kind of developing an affinity to Joel Edgerton, the guy who's the male lead in that movie. He is a good actor, and he does good work.
This is a good segue into the next topic, because he plays the orc in Bright, which is a Netflix.
We all watched that over Christmas.
We all watched Bright, and you know, it's not. People are being really hard on that, but I liked it.
I was entertained.
I was entertained.
I have to agree. I liked it a lot.
I like the universe they made. I like the idea. You know, some of the racism stuff seemed a little heavy-handed, but for the most part, I had a great time watching it. So.
Yeah, no, and I mean, the metaphor is a little heavy-handed. The orcs kind of taking the position of, you know, the idea that they sided, with the Dark Lord 2,000 years ago, you know, and the rest of the other races on Earth fought this fight against
really
this great evil.
Poorly developed. That was my main issue.
I think it would do better as it would have done better as like a miniseries, maybe.
Oh yeah,
or like a limited series.
If they did like five episodes,
alienation with orcs, dude.
Oh yeah, totally.
Yeah.
But I like the idea of these fantasy characters, pixies and elves and orcs in this modern era, and what that means, and magic, you know, magic wand being like this super rare thing, and people who can use it are super rare, is fun, you know. It's interesting to me, and they're already saying they're going to make another one, so
they didn't even like explore or cultivate the idea that Will Smith's character is a bright.
Exactly.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
I mean,
spoiler alert. Deal with it.
What the hell?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They should have done. They should have gone further with that. Maybe they will in the second one for sure.
Jesus. But that's. So, I mean, come on. What are you doing?
Right. Right.
That's terrible storytelling.
I have a few things that I could talk about for
because
stuff I've watched or...
I will say that because I'm plugged into the, sort of the genre, how these things work, I absolutely knew that he was going to be...
Oh, yeah. Totally, 100%. Totally. As soon as they said it was like one in a...
the fantasy trope, yeah. Right? It fits squarely with this idea that the main character is an asshole,
yeah.
Turns out to be one of the chosen. So,
right.
I mean, come on. So if you're going to be cute with that... You need to, like, have a twist on it or do something unique with it or whatever. Mm-hmm, but they didn't even do anything with it. It was such a bummer.
Right.
But I was entertained. It was not nearly as bad as people made it out.
Oh, not, you know, nearly not, as bad. I mean, right. This isn't, like, you know, Oscar-winning fare. It's not, like, amazing. But I liked it. It was fun. It was fun.
And I liked Will Smith and I liked Joel Edgerton together. They have a fun chemistry.
And the practical effects are really good too. Like all his
orc,
all the orc stuff was
really good.
It was awesome. You know, yeah. Looked. I believed it.
Oh, totally. He looked like an orc.
Yeah,
he looked like an orc would look like.
Instead of just doing like a CGI character, I'm so sick of that. I'm going the other way. I feel like computer. Animation is not working. People are using it to get, you know, to...
You've reached a saturation point.
Well, it's like, what am I looking for? Laziness. It feels lazy now because you can do it so easily, but then so much of it looks really bad.
Well, I mean, but dude, think about the example of Blade Runner 2049 and how much of that... was built in a computer. Because the landscapes, I mean, I'm sure they created some of it, but so much of that movie is built in a computer.
Oh, yeah.
And how amazing it looks. I mean, our favorite scene in the movie where, Kay is walking out across that open-air walkway and the huge hologram of his lover, it's an advertisement.
Here's how I frame that.
Yeah.
How I frame that is that what CG does is allows middling budgets and middling directors, it raises the floor to produce something that is passable.
Right. Yeah. Right.
It raises the floor. And so it gives the ability to put onto screen an idea or this is how I want this scene to play out. And we don't have the budget to do a practical effect or build a set or whatever. And let's have the CG people work on it. But there's a limited budget on how much time and computer time and everything else. And so it raises the floor to produce something on screen. But you and I, we all agree that well done, people who take time and effort and they are masters of their craft and they have a team around them, it is indistinguishable from any Lawrence of Arabia, indistinguishable and amazing to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think all it has done is raise the floor to produce something on a budget, but – The expectation now for all of us, Patrick, you just voiced it, is so high now that if you half-ass it, everyone sees it and are bummed out about it.
Right.
Yeah,
it takes you out.
Henry Cavill's upper lip from Justice League.
Right.
It's the all of the villain in Justice League. Every moment that he exists.
I mean, I can't deny that, but there are moments of spectacular CG, like the running fight of the Amazons on Themyscira.
Yeah.
That whole part is amazing.
Yeah.
When it's done well, it's amazing. Sometimes it just doesn't... And we, you know, the Hulk is a totally CG character.
Hulk looks amazing, though.
But we buy it.
That's time and effort and budget, right?
Yeah,
in our minds, we know he's not a real thing.
Totally.
We know he's CG, but we accept it.
I totally forget.
I never, right, I never had a moment where I was like, that's fake. He's not really there.
Right.
I never like
that's fatal to a movie that has central CG is in my view, if there's ever a moment where I am jarred out of, oh wow. If I have any kind of reaction like that, I know it's a quality CG movie when I never have a moment like that. Never.
Never.
And I'm looking for I'm looking for that shit.
Everybody is. Everybody's looking for it the whole time. They're,
Right.
What else?
I was just going to comment about Last Jedi and how Snoke's totally CG, but we buy Snoke, don't
totally
we?
Buy
totally buy it.
Totally. Yeah.
I mean, you believe he's there. And that has to do with, like, mocap stuff, too. Andy Serkis is just so good. He's like the guy you call. You're doing mocap? Call Andy Serkis. Or you call that other guy, the guy who's in Planet of the Apes also. God, he plays, like... Kubo or whatever.
No, what's I know his character. You're talking.
Right. He's really good too.
Yeah.
I am. So this week last week actually they dropped Doctor Who season 10 on Amazon Prime. Mm. So I've been watching that. I haven't seen any of season 10. Mm. This season is awesome. I was talking to Chris over the Christmas when we watched the Christmas special together. What's that?
As of not a Whovian, there's not a fandom I've embraced. I haven't really gotten down with Doctor Who. I don't know if I would say that I'd rejected it wholeheartedly, but watching the Christmas special, and there were legitimate moving moments of the Christmas special.
Totally.
That you can tell that how good... I mean, the writing is good, the acting is good, and they're reaching for big ideas in this world of sci-fi / fantasy that Doctor Who exists in. And I really enjoyed the Christmas special that we all watched together.
Totally.
I was totally sucked in.
Anyway, and not having watched season 10 at all, you know, I didn't really know this new companion at all, Bill. You know,
was fun.
She's great. Like she's one of my favorite companions, and I didn't really like Capaldi in season 9, but season 10 is like really good. The writing in each episode is interesting. This overarching like storyline with the vault that the Doctor has to protect is really interesting. Yep. I like all that.
Can we talk spoilers for a second?
Yeah, go for it.
So. Jenna Coleman played a companion, and her companion makes I don't know her character's name. What's her character? Clara?
Clara.
She makes an appearance Oswald. in the Christmas special as like a vision of a dead person.
Yeah, she's dead.
She dies.
Okay. Not dead.
Not.
Where's she at?
So at the end of that spoiler. The end of her regular run as a they are in London, and they're in an alleyway that is a sanctuary for aliens. And there is this creature that it essentially kills you. It's in the form of a crow, and there was a death in this. It was an accidental death. She takes the place of an alien, and the Doctor, being a Time Lord. She is, long story short, she is in between, permanently frozen in time, in between her last two heartbeats.
Interesting. Okay.
So her heart is not beating.
But she's like frozen in time.
She is frozen between her final two heartbeats, and she has joined... There's an immortal character that the Doctor created who is the person from Game of Thrones. I can't remember her name. What is her name?
Arya Stark is...
Arya Stark.
Maisie Williams.
She is a main character in that season 9.
Yeah.
The Doctor essentially makes her immortal. And so she goes through the cycle of immortality, right? Where she's boredom, and then she uses her power for bad. And then she's now like redeeming herself and using her power for good. And those two fly off into space to explore the universe together because Clara is forever time frozen. The Doctor did this so she will not die.
Hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
There's your answer. I didn't remember that very well. Maybe I need to rewatch 9 too.
You do.
10 is awesome though. I'm not quite
10
done.
10 is awesome.
I'm just enjoying it. That's all I wanted to say about that. Do you guys have TV shows or movies you want to bring up? You guys got stuff?
Christopher?
I will only mention I watched the premiere episode of X-Files.
Ooh. Okay. How was it?
It was.
Yeah.
It was okay. Yeah.
Great.
It was okay. Just okay.
Okay.
It tees up sort of what is going to be the main quest for the season. Mm.
Well, the first
it drops
six.
A spoiler. It drops a humongous retcon.
Oh.
Into the universe, which a lot of people hate. I'm sort of indifferent about, but it drops a huge retcon into the viewers know it, but some of the main characters, Scully and Fox, don't know it, but they're gonna find out. I will watch the rest of the season just simply because it's a nostalgia. I'm a huge fan of the entire series. And I watched all of Black Mirror.
Oh,
yeah. So,
what do you think of season 4? I haven't watched it, but
I love that show. It's thought provoking. It really it has an interesting take on technology. It's far less dark than previous. There are dark episodes, but it's far less. Despairing.
Yeah,
I guess the previous seasons are filled with despair for the human plight.
Yeah,
and where we're headed. Where this season, there's less of that. There is how can technology impact individuals poorly? Less a societal we're all fucked.
Yeah,
kind of.
The
idea.
Season 1 and 2, and I haven't watched much of season 3 because of that reason. Because the we're all effed,
right?
season 1 and 2. That's the theme. It's like, oh god.
It's far less of that.
Right.
It's much more. This technology can corrupt individuals, or technology can actually improve people's lives or be a vehicle. There's touches more of that, and so I liked it a lot.
So the one I really want to ask about is apparently there's an episode that kind of homages Star Trek.
Oh yeah.
And we've talked about Star Trek on this show a lot. We all love Star Trek. So is it good? Is that a good episode?
It's a good episode. It's a really good episode.
You can watch these out of order. So I think I might just go watch that episode.
That's the first episode.
Okay, so I'm just going to go watch that one and see.
You should.
Yeah, because I've heard that's pretty good.
It is very good. It gets interesting, nice touches and commentary on Star Trek. It's really entertaining.
Cool. Andrew, you got something?
Well, over Christmas, I always try to make a point to go to as many movies as I can. I didn't see as many as I wanted to, but we all went and saw Jumanji on Christmas Day, which didn't talk about in our recap.
Oh yeah,
that was a lot of fun.
I'm gonna add that to
a fun movie.
That I really enjoyed Jumanji, it definitely is in our wheelhouse because they're going into a video game
the video game tropes and
the video game tropes are
stuff.
So good.
I thought I really liked it. I ended up seeing it twice just because I was hanging
out. Oh, you
out
saw
with
it again? Oh, dude,
well,
it's
she
good.
To go, and I'm let's go. Why not?
It's a fun movie. It's funny.
A fun movie. I didn't. Mm-hmm. It's not a waste of time seeing it twice for sure. So The Rock is always really watchable. Mm-hmm. Kevin Hart does his Kevin Hart thing.
I'm surprised at how
Karen Gillan is like a movie star.
Oh yeah,
she is a movie star, dude.
I love her. She's awesome.
She is so much fun in that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she, I mean, as much as The Rock is like, you know, you buy him as being like a video game hero because he looks like
absurd.
A video game hero.
Yeah.
he looks like a superhuman.
Yeah.
I mean, Karen Gillan kind of fits
that too.
Dude.
Dwayne Johnson is a superhuman.
It's superhuman.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true. I won't argue that.
He wins the Not Ugly Award for the week.
The week goes to The Rock.
Yeah, well, a close second to that is, I mean, because think about Karen Gillan and all, like, the stunts and fight scenes
Man.
She has to do. She looks great.
It's hilarious
and she
commentary.
Kicks...
It's hilarious commentary on video game design where,
why
am I in a jungle in a half shirt?
Yeah.
Exactly. Why am I in a crop top?
I love
short
that.
Shorts.
See, when they released the first images of that show.
Oh, there was all the uproar.
Right,
oh,
there was uproar.
Yeah.
But it's part of the story,
top,
guys.
It's
explained.
Funny commentary.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, it's great. And that's and we get it because it's a total commentary on Lara Croft. Why is Tomb Raider running around in a sports bra?
100%.
Dumb.
And, you know, bloomers.
Short shorts.
Because,
yeah.
Exactly. Because that's what video game designers wanted her to look like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's just. So.
Male.
We saw that.
Video
we all enjoyed
game.
That.
Male video game.
Yeah. Male video game designers. And I saw Molly's Game.
Oh.
And Jessica Chastain, Aaron Sorkin wrote and directed it. It's the first time he's directed a feature film. I really liked it. Jessica Chastain is always good in everything.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Idris Elba plays her defense attorney. The character Molly gets involved in some legal trouble.
He's awesome.
He's so good.
He's so great.
Jessica Chastain is phenomenal. She's good in everything. And she is top tier in this movie, too. So I recommend both those movies. Molly's Game, particularly, is a lot of fun to watch. And Aaron Sorkin's doing his Aaron Sorkin thing.
Not really genre or related, but I went and saw I, Tonya, and I really liked it a lot. That movie is funny. Holy crap. Dark and humorous.
Dark. Yeah.
Yeah. Really,
I've heard Margot Robbie goes to some dark places in that movie.
Holy crap, dude. There's parts of it that are really rough and there's parts of it that are really funny, and I think that's I think that was the right tone to take. It's just absurd. The movie is like absurd and the story is kind of absurd. So if you go into it with that, you're just like, "Oh my god, this person's life was a mess." So
yeah.
It's kind of
a while there. She was the best figure skater in the world,
right? She was the only, they talk about it in the movie a lot too, that she was the first American to land first American female to land the triple axel.
Yeah.
And that, you know, they talk about that, that's in the thing. And that's part of the reason she gets into the, Olympic team and stuff. And it's really, really, really well-made movie. And Margot Robbie's awesome. So, anyways, books you guys are reading? Anything you'd like to comment?
I plowed through 200 pages of Persepolis Rising this past weekend. I'm not done with it.
How's that going?
That book is great.
Dude, yeah. I just got to chapter 36 where a huge thing has happened, a development has happened in the universe where things have kind of all been turned on their head, where everybody's dealing with this new realization. And it goes hard, like hard sci-fi, and it's just really cool. Mm-hmm. I am digging it big time.
Sets up the end like you cannot.
As soon as I get off the cast with you guys, I'm gonna continue to read because I want to figure out where this goes. It meanders there a little bit in the middle just because it's kind of setting up the conflict for the last third of the book, and the last third of the book is just, it's been incredible. So.
Season 3 of The Expanse comes back March 16th. I'm really excited about that.
Oh, dude, yes. The Magicians.
Oh, that's next week.
This week.
Wednesday.
Yes.
This week, yeah.
I'm excited for that.
So Magicians comes back. I love The Magicians, so I'm really excited about that. Next week, all the CW shows come back. Supergirl, Flash, Arrow, Legends, which I'm excited about.
Are you guys going to watch Black Lightning?
It looks kind of goofy.
I'll give it a shot.
Is it connected to this whole universe? I might have to if it's connected.
I think it's part of the Arrowverse.
Okay.
I think it is. It might be one of another Earths. I don't think it's set on the same Earth.
It's not
as
on the Arrowverse? Okay.
Yeah, I think it's another Earth, but potentially there's crossover stuff. But
I probably will watch it. It just looks kind of silly, more silly than I guess nothing's more silly than Legends of Tomorrow. So I can't really talk
exactly.
And I love that show. I'll probably watch it. Sure,
guys. We're counting down at this point. We are like 5 weeks away from Black Panther.
Oh. February 16th, so pumped about that. So pumped about that. That's going to be great.
Please, God, let it. I mean, Ryan Coogler is a good filmmaker. I hope he just doesn't swing and miss.
I trust it. You know, Creed was awesome. So
Creed was awesome. And Chadwick Boseman is a movie star.
Oh, so, yeah. He looks awesome, too. Yeah, it's going to be a good one. It's going to be
I'm hoping so. 5 weeks.
The only thing I'm reading is I downloaded, I had some credits on Audible, so I downloaded Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, so I'm re-listening to that just as a fun read, but I haven't been reading much else. So next episode I'll focus on getting some comics again. I haven't read any comics lately, and so
yeah.
need to buckle down.
I think when Bendis starts to write for DC is when I might pick DC back
up. You know what I was reading at a bookstore? I was reading Civil War II by Brian Michael Bendis. Thank you for saying his name and reminding
me.
I got about four issues into that. It's okay. It was kind of weird. It's the whole, like, there's an Inhuman that can see the future thing and what that means with all these heroes and, like, should we do anything? You know, if we change something, what
it's
is
like
that?
Minority. There's a little minority.
There's a little
going on in that.
For sure. Yeah. It's like if we change something, because they do change something and it's worse. Like, right. Heroes die. One of them almost, like, another hero almost dies, and things get bad. And they're like, should we be trusting this guy to tell us? To tell us this is actually, like, the future, that this is going to happen. And it's kind of they're kind of, like, goofing around with that a little too much, but the art was fun and Bendis's writing is interesting. So people were really, like, not happy with it. So maybe the ending is awful.
Tends to be, unfortunately, that it ends up being kind of a similar downfall for a lot of these major crossover events. Is they start really strong and they kind of end on a whimper.
Well, the Civil War, like that whole thing, it ended on kind of this weak moment of Captain America just giving up, more or less.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
And it should have been, like, it should have ended with him getting shot at the courthouse, because that happened in the next issue on the Captain America series, which I thought that was so much better of an ending. If they would have done that in Civil War, people would have been like, what?
I can't disagree with that.
Video games, we talked a little bit. Everybody's playing Destiny a little bit still.
I haven't played Destiny in a couple weeks.
Have you been playing anything else?
Yeah, I've kind of fallen off. I bought Wolfenstein 2.
Oh, yeah.
It hasn't been delivered yet.
Okay.
So I'm going to pop that in and play it.
You actually bought, like, a hard copy? I haven't bought a hard copy of a game in so long.
Well, I had corporate, like, benefits points, so
gotcha.
I ordered
it off
our
corporate. I've heard good things about that game.
I've heard really good
things
about
it. It's on a lot of finally top 10 lists.
It's made by one of my favorite gaming studios too, Bethesda. So
they made Doom, right?
Yeah, they made Doom and they made Skyrim and Fallout 4, all the Fallouts. So they're really good, solid studio.
Yeah, I heard good things about the single player campaign story. So I'm really excited to dive into that when it gets here, and I'll play that. You know,
you should have some of it by the next time we record.
For sure. I'll definitely have played it for sure.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I've been playing a little Path of Exile again with my buddy Zach. That game is a lot of fun with the two of us just run around melting, bad guys with magic powers. I love that kind of game, you know. But I will say, at the end of this month, I'm really excited for Monster Hunter World. Have you guys seen any footage of this?
I
watched some streamers play it on a beta.
Yeah.
So I don't really. I mean, it doesn't seem like my type of game to be honest. But it was kind of fun to watch.
Yeah, I think it looks pretty cool. I don't know if I'll get it right away, but I'm probably going to buy that game. That game
is it coming out on Xbox and PC?
It's Xbox, PC, and PS4.
Will you play it on Xbox?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That kind of game. It's co-op. It's, you know, level up stuff. I love that kind of. And you're running. Yep. It reminds me a lot of Shadow of the Colossus. I don't know if anybody's played that game. You two, I don't think have, but
I know
that game.
Talking about
that game is awesome. And It reminds me a lot of that, so I'm super super pumped about that one. End of the month for me.
Cool.
Andrew, do you have some trivia for us?
I do have some trivia for you, just because we're in a new year and we're going to look back a little bit.
Mm.
I want you guys to tell me, and it's simple, you know, something we've done before. Tell me the top five domestic grossing films of 2017.
2017 top five. Okay.
Yeah. In any order, but you give me five, the top five.
Well, Star Wars Last Jedi has got to be on there, right?
Okay.
What was the question again? Sorry?
Top five domestic, not worldwide. Ooh. Domestic gross films of 2017.
Rogue One is not. It was last year.
That was 2016.
Yeah, that doesn't count. What was the Marvel movie that came out this summer? Thor Ragnarok? I don't think that did great. Might be on the list.
Thor Ragnarok came out
Logan in 2017?
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah.
It came out in March.
Hmm.
I just watched the end of that on HBO. God damn, that's a good movie.
Dude, Logan's pretty good.
It's one of my favorite of the year.
Yeah. Yeah.
What did you name for Last Jedi?
Last Jedi. And
God, I don't even remember the movies that came out.
I know.
Wow, you guys are blanking on this.
Blanking hard.
Totally blanking.
As soon as I start to list them off, you're gonna go, oh yeah.
Let me look at a list of what was released. I'm not going to
stay
Box
off.
Office Mojo.
Yeah, stay off the internet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Come on, guys, we got dead air on a podcast.
I don't know. What are they? Yeah, I will be pissed.
You will be pissed.
I'm sure we'll be pissed.
Slap moments. All right, number five, domestic gross, Spider-Man Homecoming.
Oh,
$334 million.
That was the one I was looking for. I knew that one of those. Yeah. Well,
also this one, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
That was pretty good. Dude, I rewatched that on Netflix. That's better than I remember. That's fun.
Yeah.
That's the first time I watched it, I was kind of like hard on it. That's a fun movie. I liked it. You know?
$389 million.
2018 is about being positive. Positive from now on.
Clearly, my brain cell. I'm looking at the list now, Andrew. And I mean, how could I not remember all of these? It's so stupid.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Number three, Wonder Woman. $412 million.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Here's one that I don't think you guys would have gotten, even if I'd given it to you. Beauty and the Beast made $504 million.
I'm not surprised by that at all. That was pretty good.
I'm not shocked by the amount of money. I mean,
that's a lot.
$500 million.
$500 million. Dude, Disney just...
Domestic.
Wait a second. Spider-Man Homecoming, Beauty and the Beast. What were the other ones?
Wonder Woman, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Wonder Woman, Guardians of the Galaxy. What's the fifth one?
The number one,
mm-hmm.
Last Jedi, $572
million. So four of the five are Disney.
Yes. technically, Spider-Man Homecoming is Sony, technically.
But Thor Ragnarok, which is number seven, is also Disney. So yeah. I'm thinking their acquisition of Marvel for $5 billion was a bargain. Right?
I think so.
Fucking bargain.
Dude.
And they acquired Lucasfilm
and
for
Star
like
Wars.
$4 billion, like 2 years before, right. 2 years after that.
Those are deals.
They're cleaning up, dude.
Oh, my God.
Disney's cleaning up. Evil Empire, bro.
It's not evil, though. We love Disney.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
We're going there in 2 weeks.
I guess it's all right. That's good.
That's fine. Disneyland, we're going to Disneyland in like 2 weeks, man. I'm so
pumped. Disney's...
Coco's on the... Yeah, Coco was really good.
I didn't see Coco.
Oh, my God.
That was
you're
good.
Missing out.
We should go...
Awesome
okay, I'm gonna go see Coco this week.
Despicable Me 2 is on this list? Right. I never
Patrick,
saw that
Patrick, you will
either.
Love it. Go see Coco.
Okay, all right.
That one, best animated film last night at the Golden Globes.
Yeah, I like movies like that. I like animated movies, so I'm down. Yeah. I've heard it's only really good things about it, too. Did you go see it when they still had the Frozen like 20 minute short before it.
Oh yes, I did.
Because they cut that. They're no longer.
Everyone said that was garbage.
Yeah. Oh no.
it wasn't up to their normal standards.
That's a bummer.
That sucks. They're just trying to. Hey, look, Frozen's still
Frozen
here.
Frozen connection
in this
most popular Disney film ever.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
If you want to help Andrew with his trivia, you should email him at kingofthenorth52@gmail.com. If you want to email the show, you should email us about your favorite trilogy or what movie you loved at 2017 or whatever movie should have been nominated that you. That, you know, why wasn't Blade Runner nominated for anything? That's what I want to say.
Seriously.
You should email us at brothersgeekpodcast@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter, brothers_geek @twitter.com. And then, you know, brothersgeek.com and Facebook, Brothers Geek Podcast for all your stuff.
Go to the website.
Go to the website.
Do it.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks. Everyone, remember, be curious.
Be curious.